From St. John chapter 20. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Supposing him to be the gardener. In John's Gospel, Mary Magdalene goes alone to the tomb on Easter morning. She's in a state of grief. She has been a witness to his long and cruel death only 2 days before, and the image of his body being lowered and carried away is seared on her conscious mind. She goes to the tomb, expecting it to be, as all tombs are to grieving friends, silent, desolate, and an aching void of sadness. But the grave is open. Mary is jolted, she's frightened, she runs back to tell the others, and they come to see for themselves. Going inside, they find the burial clothes there lying empty, no body. There is a period of confusion, and the grief she already feels is now overtaken by something else, by fear and turmoil, the thought that some further horror has happened. She starts to cry alone in the garden, and that's when Jesus comes and stands beside her. "Why are you crying?" he says. Now the voice is his, the body is his, the question is his. But her mind cannot make sense of what her eyes can see. Imagine the situation. The human mind imposes its own pattern of coherence on what it sees but cannot understand. She sees the gardener. And that belief would have remained with her for the rest of her life had he not said the one word that undid its plausibility. He says her name, Mary. And in that moment, the known universe for Mary Magdalene came undone. The sense of order that had guided her, even in her grief, was shattered. She saw what could not possibly be. She saw what everyone sees who comes to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. She saw the power of God blowing apart the limitations and boundaries that our human minds impose upon the natural world. Her plausibility structures dissolved. And at that moment, she could no longer be certain of anything. We should not suppose that the appearance of the risen Christ would have been a comforting thing. It would have deeply unsettled her. It would have put everything she thought she knew into question. Jesus stayed with her and talked with her, and because of that, she came to see something that it's impossible to explain to peoples whose universe is still intact. She came to see in Jesus the only stable point in an unstable world. It dawned on her that he was the sure reality, the only certainty in a world on which she could rely no longer. She came to a level of faith in that moment, which is really a new way of seeing everything. It's never been easy to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not then, not now. It seems to undo all the coherent models of plausibility that allow us to make sense of the world. Easter is a kind of uncertainty principle thrust into the heart of our tidy, ordered universe, undermining all our theories about the way things ought to be. It's an event that makes everything unstable. It takes our Higgs boson physics and even our Stephen Hawking physics and says, there is more than this. There is more to the world than this. Not everything can be predicted. The resurrection did not even allow Mary the predictability of grief. Easter is the divine uncertainty principle inserted into our world, and it remains an irrational obstacle, a kind of intellectual scandal, until we reach that level of faith where we see it as the only still point at the center of everything. And because we resist uncertainty, we resist Easter. Many people try to make it into something understandable, something neat, coherent. Some dismiss it as a fantasy, the overwrought projections of grief-stricken friends. That's something understandable. Others turn God into their private sponsor, the patron of their personal interests, the advocate of their political worldview. They co-opt God into their national projects. They claim to know what Easter means and what happened there, and they insist on reducing Easter to a set of doctrines or certainties, which in the end remove its mystery. The way I see it is this: Easter, resurrection, is the name we give to the unpredictability of God, the divine uncertainty principle at the heart of everything. It appeared on Easter morning. It changed the very nature of reality for some men and women gathered beside an open grave. It reaches out to us too, here, across all the centuries, the power of God disturbing our view of things, and it's something we can't ever fully understand. We speak about it in poetry, in music, or in silence. We can approach it when we leave everything else behind. It is still here. The risen Christ, transcendent among us. The explanations and the words we place upon it will never satisfy our minds nor capture the reality of it. And so we should be charitable to those whose images differ. We will always suppose Jesus to be someone we comprehend. But there are moments in life when Easter breaks in upon us. There are times when the boundaries and limits we know are torn apart and our universe crumbles to dust. It's in these moments, when everything we understand dissolves around us, that we come close to the heart of the living God. The mystery of God undoes us. When God calls your name, it is profoundly unsettling and not at all reassuring. Easter means that absolutely nothing is reliable except God. Nothing can be depended upon unless it is open to the unpredictability of God. If your hope is based on the order you see around you or on the plans you've made for yourself, beware. When Easter comes, you will be undone. For nothing can contain God, not even our religion. God is the mystery that haunts everything and threatens to undo the very structures we rely upon. Only a shallow faith dares to domesticate God. And that's why genuine faith, the faith that Mary found, is never content with tidy answers. Easter is God's laughter, God's hilarity at our systems and our theories and even our serious religion. You think you know how your life is going to turn out? Ha! go talk to Mary. You think you know how things are going to work through? Ha! Consider the empty tomb. When God speaks your name, the universe changes. And that is when you meet the risen Christ. Go and be witnesses to this.